This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Liverpool come from behind to hammer Rangers 7-1 thanks to a Mo Salah late hat-trick. Man City booked their place in round 16 despite a scoreless draw with Copenhagen. A preview of Sunday's big match between Liverpool and Manchester City at Anfield. Chelsea go top of Group E after a 2-0 win over 10-man AC Milan. Spurs hold on for a 3-2 victory over Frankfurt in North London. And a look at the other big stories in Europe, including the 6-goal thriller between Barcelona and Inter Milan, and what to make of Kylian Mbappe's desire to leave PSG. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
And Musty, don't forget, Premier League Pick'em is back, and your chance to win $50,000. Play Premier League Pick'em for free, and you can become the next big winner. Download the NBC Sports Predictor app today, available in the App Store or Google Play Store. Okay, my friend, let's start with the team that many people are talking about, many people have an opinion on. I think Didi Haman came out and said he feels that Jurgen Klopp might not be able to get this team back on track. You know, there might be a parting of the ways, and I know Klopp came out kind of fiery with that, but Rangers were hosting Liverpool. They lost last week 2-0 at Anfield and actually got themselves a goal up, Rob, in a hostile environment. And it was a real test for Liverpool at some point. And you'd have to say, winning the game 7-1, they came through that test, and it might just have been a result that kickstarts the season.
I think maybe. I mean, first off, the team was, on paper, very, very different. Opportunities for Harvey Elliott in a wide position. It was kind of 4-2-3-1, Rob. I thought Harvey Elliott on the right-hand side, but coming in very narrow, trying to find those little spaces between the lines. Likewise, on the other side, Fabio Cavallio, I think 19 years of age, two youngsters played, was on the left-hand side doing the same thing. Those two had license to come really, really narrow, which at times is going to look a little crowded. But to be fair, I thought they give Rangers a lot of problems by picking up the ball in those areas. A back four without Trent Alexander-Arnold at right back. Joe Gomez had a very, very good game there, Rob. And of course, the right side of Liverpool's back four was good to go. I mean, and again, we caveat all this, I guess, that it was Glasgow Rangers, and Rangers, you know, quality-wise, are going to be a little bit short on this Liverpool side. So that was kind of the lineup. Of course, Tsimikas played again at left back. Rob, that Andy Robertson came on later on. And I got to say before we go on, I think Tsimikas is a weak link. I think Andy Robertson is really badly missed, both in possession, but more importantly, safety on the ball and his defensive strength. You know, I looked at Tsimikas in the last few games and in this one, and I know, you know, he's a squad player and Robertson's going to be the main man, but Robertson is really a step up in terms of that left-back position. And also, Ibrahima Konate, Rob, came back in this game. I think he came off late, but looked pretty good. Now, we know that the round of injuries, Matip's out injured from the last Premier League match. I think Ibrahima Konate is the first choice. First choice alongside Van Dijk going forward. It's important for Liverpool, Rob, that he's back in the side. Nunes up front and Roberto Firmino, that I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about because he was brilliant, played just off of Darwin Nunes. Different looking side, took a little bit of time to get some fluidity, but ended up being a really good night for Liverpool,
Yeah, I mean, they go a goal down and Rangers had their tail up, and I think it Sakala, I think it is, on the right-hand side for Rangers up against Tsimikas. And he went on the outside of him two or three times, Rob, caused one or two problems. And I'm kind of thinking, ooh, this could be a bit tasty tonight. But they kind of dealt with it in the end by keeping good possession, by not allowing Rangers to get into ball. Obviously, the second half, they went into another gear that Rangers just can't live with. And we start to see the differences between, you know, successful Scottish Premier League teams and successful English Premier League teams. And, you know, the quality of finishing, the quality of forward play that Liverpool had was too much. And I just felt overall, and we'll talk about Bobby Firmino, but I want to talk a little Mo Salah, Rob, actually, because 6 minute 12 second hat trick, I believe. the first one's the bendy one that we come to, the poke that we come to expect, the bendy one. And he beats a goalkeeper, McGregor, I didn't think had a particularly great game today, having played through our last time out. Mm. But I just felt, Rob, it was interesting. So Mo Salah was rested, not started, whatever. And in the main, I think that was because his form wasn't good. I don't think it was one of those where he's playing that well or we'll rest him for Man City. I think it was almost like, sit out for a moment, get your head together and then let's kickstart again. I mean, it couldn't have worked any more perfect for Jurgen Klopp. He gets his top scorer of the last few seasons. He gets his three goals. He looks more like himself. He smiles back on his face. Had a lovely moment with Harvey Elliott before Elliott scored his goal where he's kind of hanging on him. And I just felt, you know what, this could be exactly what Mo Salah needed, exactly what Liverpool needed, to get goals. Listen, if you're not playing well as a centre-forward and, you know, your touch is off and your passing ain't great, but if you're not scoring goals, if you've lost a little bit of that can eye of the tiger, the hunger to get in that the box. And I just felt that's where Salah was. And today might just have kick-started him ahead of what is a huge game at Anfield at the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what he needed, Rob, isn't it? I mean, you know, even the first goal goes in and it's like, even his body language is like, okay, you know, he didn't even look happy at, you know, but of course, by the end of it and the three goals go in, then he's smiling again. And maybe that's just what he needs. Absolutely right. I just think it's, you know, I guess the worrying side of it, Rob, when you think about the start, the Liverpool conceded the first goal again. Yeah. Now, I think there's crazy stats out there.
I think it's 11 of 13 now, I think, Rob. Something's crazy.
11
about
of
that.
Last 13 or something,
Conceded the first goal in a game, which is not great, is it? You know, better quality teams. You do that to Man City, you might not see the 3 points.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lovely Rangers goal, by the way, wasn't it? What a lovely goal. Scott Arfield, Huddersfield, former Burnley midfield player. What a lovely move it was for Rangers. And then you looked at Jurgen Klopp's face, it was like, wow.
That was on them, wasn't it?
It was
on with the crowd and, you know, in that situation. And fair play to Klopp and his team, because, as he said, I just listened to his press conference just before we came on, and he talked about he was pleased with the reaction, he was pleased with the bravery, they got on the ball. I tell you, still out for me, Rob, in a little period where it wasn't quite going for Liverpool and it felt like it was in the balance for the first 15 or so minutes. Little Harvey Elliott, by the way, didn't have to go around and get on the ball from that wide position that he started.
And Cavalier, Rob. And Cavalier.
Yeah, I thought Cavalier, for me, I was watching Elliott particularly. I don't know, he caught my eye. But a couple of times when one or two of the other players didn't look as he went and got it, Rob, and banged it into people and had it back. And he almost felt he gave him a bit of life. I thought he was brave on the ball when Hendo and Fabinho weren't quite sort of on the game and didn't look as though, you know, they were going to do a defensive job. But I just thought, for me, I just watched Harvey Allen and I was really impressed with, in a period when it was really not great for Liverpool and the questions were being asked, he didn't have to get on the ball and make the team play.
What I would add to that, Rob, is that the position in the team I liked for Harvey Elliott today. Mm. Harvey Elliott, when he plays one of three, like I play the outside guy, three-man midfield, of course, great on the ball, but it is kind of in the middle of the physicality. And it is in a position where you've got to be really honest and you've got to track back and you've got to do the defensive side at times. This position that's further on the right, he's got two holding players now, so it's less important for him to be in the middle of things defensively. He'll come back and help out because he's a midfield player that will go two ways, both ways. Yeah. So he'll add that and he'll protect Joe Gomez on the right-hand side. But it also gives him the opportunity to kind of, what we used to say, Rob, cheat a little bit, where he's in between, he's in between those players. He's smart. He's difficult to pick up. And again, I thought Fabio Cavallo did exactly the same thing on the other side. Again, a good position. Now, what they don't give you from there is the width that sometimes teams need. Sometimes, not always. There's always, 4-2-3-1 in effect is is wider players at playing inside with the ability fullbacks to go forward. Joe Gomez didn't get forward so much today.
Not really, no.
Apart from the lovely cross for Firmino's, goals. So I liked the way, it took a while for it to come fluid and like, oh, that's good. And it's becoming a pain in the backside to Rangers. So I thought that was really good. But, I mean, in that first period of time, the first 20 minutes or so when they went behind, there's one player that looked class, head and shoulders above everybody else, took the ball, was brilliant on the ball, and makes things happen, scores two goals, assists the next goal, I believe. Roberto Firmino, I thought, God, if you're Jurgen Klopp sat on the sideline, Robbie, you're 1-0 down, you're looking at this and you're seeing Firmino doing what he did in difficult, difficult circumstances where we know, you know, for a player that's been there a long time, it's easy maybe for his head to go down, or here we go again. Talk about step up and produce quality moments and linking things together, and the goals that he took, the flicked header, you know, the lovely assist he made for Nunes's goal.
Beautiful, I
thought he stepped up in a difficult period, in a difficult match period, in a difficult period, full stop, and gave Jurgen Klopp everything that Klopp's given back to him over many years of praising what a brilliant player Roberto Firmino was. So, listen, I think last season started to get critical of Firmino. I thought he had a poor season, wasn't influencing games enough. Now, we knew that preseason, he had a brilliant preseason. Yeah. I think he might have had some injury issues last year, all gone. I thought he was the main reason why this game went the way it did, and it helped the foundation for Mo Salah come on and get his glitzy three goals in 6 or 7 minutes. But Firmino, wow, I thought he was brilliant in a difficult environment.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Wrote many similar things. My headline was, when things are going wrong for Liverpool, Bobby comes good.
Yeah.
Bobby gets the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, this time job, Jota came into this football club, you know, people maybe two years ago ago, maybe Firmino's time's come. Diaz comes into the football club, Bobby Firmino's gone. Nunes comes into the football club. I tell you what, Rob, right now, as you're talking and what he gave to the team, he'd be the first name forward on the pitch right now. Six goals. I've just looked at his numbers before we came on. 6 goals, 3 assists in the Premier League, 2 goals, 1 assist in the Champions League. Consistency, wherever he plays, he can play up top, affect centre forwards with his movement. He can link the game from 10. He can play him wider, Rob, and encourage people to come round him. And you know he's going to be safe with the ball. Rarely gives the ball away. I just thought it was magnificent tonight. It was head and shoulders above any other forward on the pitch. And you can just, at times, Rob, see his football IQ, his brain's going. As the play's building up, he's not just a great technical footballer, which most Brazilians have great feet, but he thinks again. He's almost like 2 or 3 steps ahead. And it's often for teammates, not always for himself. I mean, the lovely little flick to Nunez before his goal is just Firmino, isn't it? You know, the no-look passes, the lovely weighted balls he plays. I thought it was excellent. I couldn't agree more with you that he played a big part, and obviously will play a big part at the weekend. Is that one of them that Jurgen can hopefully build from now? Talk to his team, get them ready. Talked about today after the game that he was pleased with the reaction. Said he thought his team got on the ball, got between the lines quite well. Said when we play good football, we're a good team. Confidence is building. Concentration's building. He said, now we've got to get some consistency back to it. And that was the thing he talked about.
Yeah, I think so, mate. And I think when I look at the back four, Robertson is back.
Yeah.
Now, we'll see. He needs to play against City if he's, you know, fitness allows. Yeah. He's got some minutes there. He's got a few days now, of course, till Sunday to play that game at Anfield against Manchester City. I think right now in their situation, Joe Gomez playing right back is good for Liverpool. It's good for them. So when you think about that back four, Konate, I think Ibrahim Konate is going to be a star. Think back to the Champions League role, how good he was in that game. So I think him being back is good. Robertson, of course, is good. Gomez is good. Now, I think against Man City, I don't know whether they're going to go just the two men in midfield, Rob, and the three in the one. Because it's Man City, you got to think it'll be a 4-5-1. Extra man in midfield. But he's got options now. Elliott yeah. and Carvalho's gave him options. Of course, Salah is rested, confident. He'll certainly start on Sunday. Yeah. And Diogo Jota as well. Luis Diaz, Rob, I'm not sure this happened.
Yeah,
we didn't find out before our last podcast about the severity. I mean, they're talking about him being out.
6 to 10 weeks, although he hasn't had to have an operation, which at least sounds good, but it's 6 to 10 weeks. But after the World Cup.
Yeah, so back to Firmino. He'll play a lot more, and there'll be a float of Jota and some of these younger pros. Of course, Mo Salah. So it's still, given some of the signings they've made over recent seasons, it's, you know, there's some injuries for Liverpool, but you know, you can still see a decent side there. After Liverpool's game against Man City, I like the look of this shape. We said it on the last couple of shows, you know, and always worked out, but I kind of like it. I think Henderson and Fabinho are struggling a little bit, which is a concern. Thiago came into the game again today as well. So, yeah, I think it'll be a different team against Man City. Obviously a different team, but I also think a different shape. Trying to find a way to stop Man City with all those players that pull you all over in that midfield area.
Yeah, no doubt I'd be looking for a bit more midfield control. But I think with the forward line that, you know, that's firing, we look back to last season. Remember that great 2-2 game at Anfield? I mean, high level, top quality. I think Salah does put a goal on the outside, and Foden got a great goal. I think it was for City on the day. But yeah, looking forward to that one. Obviously, high end. Good confidence boost for Liverpool. I mean, ahead of hosting City at the weekend.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you got to check out NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease. Plus, it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
Let's move it to Man City, right? Because there's not that much to talk about in a Copenhagen 0, Manchester City 0. I on the team here, it was interesting. There was no Bernardo Silva, no Foden in the first team. Haaland was on the bench. A bit of what I call pet protection, I think it seems, Robin. And I looked around a few places just to pick up from Pep, and Pep just said that he felt some of his players were a bit exhausted, fatigued. They hadn't recovered well, he said. They had a couple of recovery days and recovery hadn't gone as well, so he felt he wanted to make a few changes, rest a few. And it is this time of year, it is this period when he often does that thing, doesn't he? We've said before how he manages minutes of players. It's almost like you've played so many games, right? Yeah. You're due a rest. And he's just rotating it up again. Haaland obviously didn't play in this game, no goals, but he'd be fresh and ready to go against Liverpool. So, yeah, I think it was one of those days for Pep. And on the pitch, decisions really that changed this one. The Rodri goal we'll talk about, the Mahrez penalty kick that ends up saved, the Gomez red card, which I really think we had too much to argue about.
No.
The Rodri goal, I know this one got you slightly irate with you. I saw on Twitter you came out and talked about it. So it's a Riyad Mahrez who accidentally hands the ball in the process of trying to control the ball. It gets played to another player, sell to Rodri, who smashes it in from 25 yards. Yeah. Beautiful strike.
Yeah.
And then we go to VAR and the referee decides that there's a handball in the build-up and he's going to disallow the goal.
Yeah, I mean, first off, in terms of the rules, it wasn't one of those where it was a hand that led to a goal instantly because it went to another player. So that's out the equation. But this was given as a normal handball, which, you know, we know the kind of the rules and stuff. It's kind of, you know, it shouldn't be. It's got to be deliberate, or, you know, your hands have got to be away from your body. Etc. etc.
Yeah.
I think I say on the last podcast or the one before that I've given up on handball.
So
again, I'd love to just paper over this and say.
Yeah. I think Pep said the same after. I don't understand the handball rule, so I can't answer questions.
I know, and that's what the guy he said. Do you understand the handball rule? He said, "No, I don't."
Yeah,
and I don't as well. I mean, the ball came out of the air. He's jostling with players. Mm. And we've been there, Rob. We've jostled.
Yeah, you put your hands out. You cannot
impart any kind of physicality or strength if your arms are, you're focusing on keeping your arms by your side. It comes out of the air, hits him on the hand, and then he feeds it just to Rodri, half volleys into the top corner. Yeah. If that's a deliberate handball,
it isn't. The basic thing is, Rob, it isn't. So it's a bad error from the referee. It's a bad error from VAR.
It's a check from VAR. Yeah, and on our local broadcast in the US, the lady, who's very, very good, also thought it was the correct call and it was a deliberate handball. So it's subjective. And I understand that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's subjective. So I have an opinion, I guess, and other people, if that's... You know, the wording of it is a deliberate handball, then I is there a lack of understanding of what's natural? Slow motion is destroying the game.
Yeah, we've got to stop slow motion in these still shots. So do no good at all. Like, we've got to stop that.
Yeah, yeah. So
because the game's not played enough.
Yeah, way. I'm not going to go on another rant. I just, you know, people know me, and I honestly, you know, we're in our studio this weekend, Rob, and a ball hits a hand. I don't know. Because some VARs, this is VAR. This is with video. Yeah. This is referees with a video saying that is, that isn't, and they're very similar.
The bigger picture is, Rob, that we're denying goals. We saw, I think it was McAllister, wasn't it, recently for Brighton, hit one from 25. Beauty.
Yeah,
Rodri's hit a beautiful strike, Rob. You know, the technique and the control and the ability to do that is high end, and we're just taking those moments away because of like accidental or deliberate or whatever. It brushes somebody's hand in the action of the game. Nobody's appealing. Nobody thinks there's anything wrong, and we're taking these moments away. That's the bit to me that we've got to sort, Jesse. What are we in this game for?
Listen, let me try and be real quick, Rob. I don't want to bore the backside of people. Back in the day, the old, let's just quickly describe the old handball law. It was very simple. It's all about intent. Did the hand go towards the ball? Did he deliberately handle it? Does he know what he's doing when he handled it?
Yeah.
Or if your arm's out here, really, really wide, it's handball.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's fine.
Play on, the ball hits people's hands in the game. Yeah.
It happens, and it was fine, and it's accepted it's fine. But it slowly crept in, I think, started off with international football. I did a ton of games, hundreds of games watching La Liga. And there, it was basically any time the ball hits a hand, it was handball. So I'd love it to go back to how it was. I'm not sure it ever will. It's almost now, Rob. Every time the ball hits the arm, really, unless you've got him pinned to your side, it's going to be handball.
Especially if we go to VL. But let's move on, because it was more than handballs. A couple of decisions went there. I have to go down to 10 men City, but dealt with it. I think it was Diaz who came on. Kanji went as a right back. Kinsella went as a right back. Three at the back. And then he had KDB, Gundogan, Alvarez, and Jack Grealish. Sometimes in a box four, sometimes three underneath one. But got the job done in the end. Copenhagen had a couple of looks. City had a couple of looks. Had more possession, as you'd expect. And got the point that gets them through to the qualifying group, mate, which I think is job done. Rested a few people. Kept the freak that's all Erling Haaland nice and ready to let him go at Liverpool. So, job done for Pep. Not too much more to say on that one.
No, my last thing on that, Rob, is that I actually, with Man City down a man, it actually became quite a good game. It was kind of even. Like,
maybe that they could be Premier League rules. Man City only have 10 players. Yeah. Make it even.
It was a more competitive game. I kind of enjoyed it when them playing with 10. But no, job's absolutely right. Yeah. And they have the luxury now of just, you know, for the next rounds, a game in that competition, they can really take it easy.
Just a little thought ahead, mate. There's a few days to go between now and Sunday, but based on what we know, what we see, these two teams have set the benchmark for Premier League football over the last four or five seasons, you know, pushed each other, two titles, Liverpool winning one, obviously City winning three recent. And does this game, does form play a part in this, Rob? Or can Liverpool at Anfield raise themselves in their game to challenge City as we've seen? You know, the City-Liverpool games have been right on the edge. There's been not much between them over the last few years, whether they're home or away. Can Liverpool get back to that? Can one performance today, can seven goals and a bit of confidence bring you back to that? Or is it a couple of steps that need to go?
Yeah, I think it's a cliche, Rob, isn't it? That form goes out the window. Mostly it's a cliche. It doesn't, does it? It doesn't go out the window. Nah. You've got to consider how grooved, how slick and confident and ruthless with that guy up front City are, and Liverpool have had a struggle. This will help. It will help Mo Salah. What I think us and any neutrals out there will enjoy is that they're in decent shape. Luis Diaz is a big miss for Liverpool, but star players, Salahs and your Haalands have been rested. We're in for a cracker. I mean, we're going to be at the Fan Fest here in Philadelphia. It's going to be a brilliant atmosphere on that Sunday. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And I think Liverpool, again, without Trent right now, right back, makes them tougher to score against. Now whether Klopp's going to tweak that midfield to bulk it up a little bit, he should. And by the way, Rob, just thinking about it, right? Sorry, mate. I mean, Jurgen Klopp must know Pep's style now, inside and out of that club.
Shouldn't they
be producing a game plan, a strategy to give City more trouble? And that's not just maybe Liverpool, because they, you know what I mean? We all know how they're going to play. We know City play with De Bruyne and
wanting to try and stop them. We've seen deep blocks, we've seen medium blocks, we've seen try and high press, we've seen try and exploit those boys' faces down the side. It's
Liverpool are a good side, Rob. They've got a ton of really good players.
To be fair, Rob, in our argument, I think Liverpool have given good games of recent. Yeah. There's been a few recent games where it could easily have gone anyway and often ended in a draw. And Liverpool have played at that real high level when they are the mentality monsters, where they are playing with the intensity, where there is the Geiger press, when they lose it, they get straight back and win it quickly and put City under pressure. That's how Liverpool can affect City, playing it at a speed and a pace and intensity that almost takes City out of that methodical passing movement that they've got.
Have they got two players, right? Let's go individuals here. Have they got a player, Liverpool, that can almost go man-to-man on Kevin De Bruyne? One question for you. Second question for you. Is it time for Virgil van Dijk to show everybody what an incredible centre-back he is and be the only defender in the Premier League that stopped this guy, Erling Haaland? Because everybody else has tried really hard.
Apart from Bournemouth, give Gary O'Neill and his boys a little bit of credit. Yeah, they stopped him. Yeah, I know what you mean. Almost one of those days Virgil goes, leave it, boys. Me and him today. I mean, we've talked about Virgil van Dijk as the Rolls Royce, as this, you know,
imperious
powerhouse centre-back. You know, no one can beat him, imperious. He's going, like many in this Liverpool team, through an indifferent period. It was better today. I think it looks better with Konate. I think Konate's physicality helps Virgil a little bit. Doesn't have to rely on him all the time. He doesn't always, I don't think, like being the lead centre-back who goes and attacks things. I think he's better sometimes when he reads it and uses his football brain. I would agree with that. I think the De Bruyne one is so difficult, almost like if you're man-to-man him...
You've got to sacrifice a man.
Yeah, and you're also going to get pulled in places that you don't want to be.
It's okay. Just to stop him, Rob, so I'm okay with it.
But then who is that guy? I remember back in the day when we used to play Southampton, who were, you know, had many great players, but we used to just have a guy named Kenny Cunningham stop Matt Letizia. Yeah. That was all he had to do. We'll play 10v10 without Matt Letizia playing a part in the game. Yeah. And we used to nick 1-0s and 2-0s with them. I'm not sure. I suppose Fabinho,
stick on him. Just stick on him. Stop him playing.
What about Hendo?
I don't know whether he's fit enough, quick enough. I think De Bruyne
De Bruyne is not, a speedster, is he? He moves well. He's not slow, but he gets around the ball. But it could be a Hendo.
Well, listen, it's a random thought. I don't think it's going to happen, but we've seen it. I did a job on Steve McManaman when we played Liverpool in the League Cup semi-final two legs. And it worked. We beat him over two legs. We got to a League Cup final. In fact, I was so exhausted because McManaman was the fittest guy in the world, apart from being quick and skillful. I tagged team with somebody else. He finished him off the last 15, 20 minutes. Yeah. We got through. So, you know, it's industrial, but it can work. Again, you probably won't see it, and it's going to be a brilliant, brilliant game. Maybe Konate, Rob, maybe Konate's physicality will match up with Erling Haaland. I'm sure our listeners and viewers are laughing because of I'm sure he's going to come and score goals against Liverpool as well, maybe. But let's see what Liverpool can do against him and City. But at Anfield, why not? Why not be a brilliant atmosphere?
I hope Liverpool are in good shape, taking a bit of confidence. We get another classic game.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Yeah. Let's move on to Chelsea, my friend, because Chelsea's been one of them clubs, and I've said it maybe a few times on our podcast, where I remember when I first finished my career and sort of got into media and TV, and I used to do a lot of games around with Chelsea, Arsenal, particularly in the London area. And Chelsea was always a football club, Rob, where there was something going on. There was gossip. There was a story. Somebody fell out. The owner's going to sack some. There was always something going on at Chelsea. And it's part of, you know, this great club, fashionable club on the King's Road. Right now, my friend, they've got an understated, super smart, non-headline grabbing coach who might just be great for the future of what Chelsea want to do. I thought, Rob, they, over two legs against AC Milan, have looked composed, have looked comfortable in the football, have looked balanced with and without the ball, have a much more of a goal threat, something you've particularly talked about and we've talked about on this podcast. We've seen better, quicker combination play in that last third that's creating opportunities. And for all those out there who are saying Graham Potter's going to struggle with big name players, Graham Potter's going to struggle with Champions League football, the guy who was at, I think, Hull University 10 years ago is looking pretty comfortable in the San Siro as Chelsea manager on the side of the pitch, looking like James Bond, and is getting points. Well, a poor man's James Bond in his polo neck in his blazer. And I just wanted a bit of credit to Potter Ball, my friend.
Yeah, of course. Of course, Rob, of course. I think I'll add to what you said about what we're seeing from Potter at the moment as well. Utilization of the squad. Something else I've just made a note of. Utilization of the squad. Getting a lot out of all of the squad, Rob. Yeah. There was definitely a sense on Thomas Tuchel that, you know, the ones that weren't in his kind of preferred 11, 12 or 13, you know, when we saw them, it was like, oh, he hasn't quite done it. Pulisic come out, Ziyech come out.
Yeah.
Like now, Broya's coming in. Chilwell started this game. Yeah. You've got Chalabas coming in.
Gallagher came on, looked good.
Broya scored at the weekend, didn't he, in the Premier League?
Yeah.
You know, whoever's playing in different spots, it's looking really, really good. That's something. Before we go on, mate, let's just go through the incident, the main incident, which was such a shame for the game, because to be fair, the first 15, 20 minutes or 18 minutes, this red card happened. Milan were up for it. You know, San Siro is a special
aggressive, weren't they? I thought they were going for it a little bit.
They were much better. Hammered off last time out there. Yeah. They didn't really turn up. And it was tight. The game looked really good and really tight. Now, it's Figueroa Tomori, of course, English centre-back that's in and around the World Cup squad. Mm. He's gone across to AC Milan and been really good. Great reports. Okay, so I think we first of all know the rules. Like, if it's a foul and he's going to go in on goal and the player doesn't attempt to win the ball, it's just this little nuanced thing about this law, then it's going to be a red card. Correct. So where Mount was...
Yeah,
it was always going to be a red because Tomori didn't slide in for the ball.
Yeah,
he put his foot towards the ball. He wasn't attempting
to play the ball, was he?
So that meant this
got to be a red card. Has to be red.
If it was deemed as a foul.
Yeah.
And this is subjective. And I've seen most people, including me, thought it was a foul.
It was a foul. For me, it was a foul.
Pulling that arm once.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah. Did it twice. Arm, yeah.
And Mount's done well to stay on his feet, Rob, by the way.
And Mount's only, but Mount also, Rob's having to stretch through his shot because of those
because
pulls.
Because of that, yeah.
Because of the pull. So it is a foul. And because it's a foul, it has to be a red card because he's not trying to play the ball.
Yeah.
What I would have liked is, in personally, was a foul and a yellow card, I felt would have been right. But by the letter of the law and the rules, the referee got it absolutely right.
Could you argue, Rob, and those that I heard saying it wasn't, that, you know, a defender has a right to, in some ways, grapple or physical attacking player as he's about to shoot a goal? And I hear that a little bit.
Yeah, I hear that, and sometimes that can be good play. Some of the best defenders sort of body you, Rob, and that. I would have almost been okay with one pull. But the second pull out of desperation because he took a bad position takes me over the line a little bit.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm thinking as from a forward position, if I'm Mason Mount and I'm getting set to shoot and I get pulled once and I stay up, and then I get pulled again and then I can only toe poke it. Come on, ref, that's a foul.
Yeah, it's a foul. Yeah, I agree. It's such a shame. I mean, after that, I thought Mason Mount was a standout playing that little... The two behind the one, which was Aubameyang. Yeah. It was Sterling and Mount. And think about that, Rob. That's kind of a nice combination of players that play in a similar little position behind a striker. One's going to dribble and he's going to run in behind. Yeah. I mean, Mount run behind there. Mm. Mount's a bit more of a link-up guy and a bit more of a midfield general. I kind of like that balance. Jorginho and Mateo Kovacic in midfield I thought were particularly good. Reece James is a concern, Rob.
The injury,
An injury to him.
I don't know what there's any... any news on that? It looked like a knee injury, isn't it, that they've said?
Didn't he fall awkwardly?
And looked like he hyperextended. And, I mean, hopefully he's one of those guys who can bounce back from things and, you know, he's got a good body shape. But, it's that's probably the big disappointment from Chelsea's point of view.
And Aubameyang, my friend, another goal for him. Going about, you talk about going about his business.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a scorer, isn't he? He's a scorer.
Yeah. And he looks like he's enjoying his football. I read a couple of things again this week. There was a couple of articles about Mason Mount and his relationship with Potter. Potter had a one-on-one with every player, talked about what he knows of him, what he thinks of him, where he thinks he can improve them. Apparently him and Mason Mount got on really well and Mount feels he's a bigger part of things. And it was interesting. I heard Mason Mount, I think he was doing an interview a couple of days before one of the Champions League those Champions League magazine shows, but talked about how he feels he can, there's a calmness with Potter and there's a conversation and maybe he didn't with Tuchel it's a bit demonstrative and a bit sort of confrontational. It just looks and feels like maybe handling a few players in a different way is going to get a little bit more.
No, I think it's a good point and I've heard other comments from other players about how impressed and how much they're enjoying the training and being around the manager. So he's had a really good start. There's a ton of games coming up. I do like the way he's switching the team around a little bit, and all those coming in seem to be fired up, motivated, and want to play, which is when you're at Chelsea and there's a big squad, you worry about it. So now good work. Good work from Potter for Chelsea and every chance of going through to the next round.
Just one player I need to mention, actually, mate, just before we go on. And again, I was watching him last night. Thiago Silva, by the way.
Wow.
I mean, round of applause, my friend. Round of applause.
It's every week.
There was a couple of times when Milan were just trying to get ahead of steam and balls were coming across the box, Rob, and he reads where to be. And he doesn't just clear it or smash it in the road.
No.
He just side-foots it into the left wing back, like, there you go, on you go, no problem.
He's an incredible player. He's an incredible player.
And for Trevor Chalobah, I thought did well, actually, against Leal, certainly on that right-hand side and stopped his kind of threat that we saw last week. You know, great learning for him and for Farnham. And, you know, we talked about Farnham, the potential that is there, but is he going to realise and have the mentality that Thiago Silva has? Not only a great player, but a great mentality and a great kind of, I don't know, personality. Doesn't get too up. Doesn't ever, you know, look like he's letting the centre forward get on top of him. And I just thought he was excellent again. Just wanted to give him
Do you know, there's one, before we move on, one last thing. Again, back on Graham Potter. Mason Mount substituted at halftime.
Yeah.
He's on a yellow card.
Yeah.
There might be a little bit of animosity at the San Siro because he got the man sent off going through.
Right.
Brings on Conor Gallagher.
Okay.
That's another smart bit of
clever management. And he also said he's had a few moments because I think he's the only, him and Kepa, the only ones who played all the games in Potter.
Right. Yeah,
and he just said, like, chance him. Yeah. Give him a little rest, well. And by the way, if you Mason Mount, you've been involved with the pen, you've assisted in the other goal, you're probably feeling pretty good about yourself. It's not one of them where you're disappointed. You know, big more games are coming up, and he's in good form, in really good form.
Yeah. All right, mate. Spurs.
Yes.
3-2 against Eintracht Frankfurt. Harry Kane. Heung-min Son was it with two goals.
Heung-min Son was a brace,
Didn't see
scored
it.
Scored a penalty, missed a penalty, Harry.
Oh, right.
She's like, I mean, he blasted one over the top in the most un-Harry-like penalty you have ever seen. Going to the goalkeepers, right? That one where he hooks it into the top corner, but he just got under the ball too much and hooked it over. Brian Hill had come on and worked a nice situation. And then They conceded the first goal. They ended up conceding a little bit late at 3-2, which just for a moment made it a little bit nervy. But I think they're always in control. And those two again, mate, innit? It's the Son and Kane combination works out again. Sonny with a couple of lovely finishes. The volley, I don't know if you saw a volley from Højbjerg. Wow, what a finish that is.
Beautiful control and balance and the strike was there. What I didn't notice, Rob, again, like you got always on different games going on at the same time there. I think Spurs, they score goals in batches.
Yeah,
it's back, I looked at it, it's 1-0 down, like, wow, they're 3-1 up now.
Yeah.
They score goals in batches. And I don't know what it is about that. I don't know what it is about it, but it seemed to be quite a bit where it's like ploddy, ploddy, ploddy. Then all of a sudden, bang, 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 goals go
in. Do you think for a moment they could, like, let the reins off? Like, because Højbjerg's attacking right side puts a cross in when normally he might be sitting behind the ball. There's a little piers where they go for 5 or 10. We'll have a go, and then we'll sit back in it again. Maybe that's it's a bit of switching it on and switching it off.
I just think from the Arsenal defeat, where they were super flipping sat back, and I think the things I've seen since then, they've been, it's almost like, give them a bit of a shake. Come on. We've got to try and play a little bit more than that. So hopefully this is the start of more games with goals in with Spurs. And of course, they hope they get more than the opponents and they win, but that's a good win. Yeah, good win for Spurs. And,
good win at home. And a tight grip, that one, isn't it? I think it's, everybody's still in running, could still finish top.
Two more match days.
Good win, good three points and three goals. Son and Kane, no doubt involved.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Listen, mate, we'll wrap this one up. Just a couple of other notable results. I think we were all, those people looking at the Barcelona Inter Milan game that ends up 3-3 in the end. Lewandowski getting a couple of goals for Barcelona. Inter Milan having a couple of chances late on. I think I saw one-on-one with Tistar-Stegen and header over the top, and I think the draw just keeps Barcelona's hopes alive of making it into the last 16, which is something they need, obviously, for the stature of the football club, but financially, I think, as well. You know, it's something that's pretty desperate for them now. I guess an Inter Milan team that went away and played pretty well, I thought, today. Probably a little unlucky not to get themselves a win.
Yeah, I mean, I tuned in live kind of later when the Liverpool game is pretty much dead and done and dusted. And my goodness, mate, I mean, it's wildness. Crazy football going on, end-to-end, amazing goals. Inter Milan should have killed off Barcelona. Lewandowski's header is a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
A thing of beauty. Do you see his header? The climb, the direction, the power. I mean, that was a special header. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, this really was a group of death. That's a proper group of death. I get a bit wound up sometimes when people are trying to make groups of deaths from groups that aren't. You know, when you got these three giants, European giants in a group where there's two go through, that's a group of death. Mm-hmm. And Barcelona, you know, there's two games left.
Yeah.
They can still do it. I mean, Inter have got to slip up against Pilsen. They're playing next, I believe, and then Bayern Munich. If they only take 1 point, Barcelona can win there too. They can do it. So it's difficult, and Barcelona, you know, made these signings, Rob, towards the end of the window with Rafinha coming in. a few other players. Who else came in at that time? Lewandowski came in, didn't he?
Lewandowski was late, yeah.
Rafinha came in. Marcus Alonso came in from Chelsea. You know, they've had a bit of a rally up, spent a little bit of money. Hector Bellerin came in, a bit of a weird one, the former Arsenal fullback. But they've got these young Pedri, these midfield players as well. So they've had a bit of a go at it. So if they don't go through, you know, I hope Xavi's going to be okay as a manager. I mean, you can't put this at his door, given the
circumstances of football club that's going on. I mean, it's been
Kessie was a midfield player as well. From Milan, wasn't he, I think? But brilliant midfield player that's a good player. So they've thrown a little bit at it. Barcelona in the Europa League will be weird, quite honestly. We'll see. They've still got a chance.
Yeah. Obviously, a big club. I think one of the surprise results of the weekend as well was Maccabi Haifa 2, Juventus 0. More pressure on Max Allegri, Juventus manager, who was given the, I think they call it the dreaded vote of confidence by the owners that he will stay on at the football club. And they said they don't see that he'll make a change. But I think that was Maccabi Haifa's first win in the Champions League, if I'm not wrong. I think I heard that yesterday, that, you know, fantastic 2-0 win, and the scenes there were incredible, as you can imagine. The mighty Juventus coming and falling. So we'll keep an eye on that one. I mean, remember Antonio Conte's name was linked back to Juventus, wasn't it? And he said how disrespectful it is, and he's talk about his contract being up and whether he'll sign a long-term deal. So just keep an eye on those two, because you know, they've had some success in the past.
Anytime you see a result like this, it's crazy, isn't it, for Juventus? I mean, the most successful team, I think, in Italian football. Max Allegri's done brilliant work there before. They've got him back again. It's not going great. I wish there was more hours in a day, mate. We could regularly check out Juventus Barcelona and Bayern Munich and everybody, Real Madrid and everybody else. Unfortunately, it's not enough. I can't give you any more insight into what's going on, because we don't see it every week. All I know is that Maccabi Haifa 2, Juventus 0, with Max Allegri in charge, is like...
It's shockwave, that shocks. One big shock, one of the biggest players in world football, Kylian Mbappe, reportedly wants to leave PSG in January. Made a statement ahead of the Champions League this week when he did manage to score a goal. But there's a lot of talk that he's unhappy with where he's playing, he's unhappy with his position. Maybe he's not top dog anymore, Rob. He signed this big, long contract last summer where apparently gave him all kinds of control and you know, he could have say in certain things in the football club. He's now kind of toys out the pram, talking like he wants to go in January. Isn't this almost a mess that they've... I'm not giving this young man too much power, Rob, in a football club, and this is an example of power going wrong.
Listen, let's quickly think of the greats, right? Because Kylian Mbappe's got the potential to be an absolute great, world-class, best player in the world, Ballon d'Or winner, and maybe you'll get to some of those things. I look at absolute shining examples of brilliance, but with a mental clarity and a humbleness that means they were greats. Ronaldo, Messi, even from today's games, Lewandowski. So sometimes, if you're that great, the ones that have greatness for a long period of time, I'll give you an alternative that's very close to home for him, have that, the hardware and the software to handle that brilliance and to show it most weeks through dedication, professionalism. Neymar is a player that we thought was going to be this guy, the next one of those. And he hasn't really, and he isn't going to, because of, in my opinion, just hasn't got that same dedication, will to win, die hard flipping mentality to go and do it. Is Mbappe, Robbie Earl, is he in danger of not fulfilling and becoming the player that he could by having this mentality of, like, you know, what are you doing for me? I want to play on the left-hand side. I don't want to be in the center. I score more goals from the left-hand side. Lionel Messi doesn't want to be in the middle either. He scores more goals playing wider area. We don't really have a number nine. Why has it got to be me? I can't remember many Messi, Ronaldo, or other legends that moan too much in the media.
But this feels to me like of the naughty child with the parents who kind of, oh, he's okay, he's out of our, you know, sometimes you got to tell a child, no, Rob, that's not right. What you're doing is wrong. It's like they're allowing him to do what he wants because he's such a talented player, because he could get such a high fee for him. But in a way, Rob, he's running the football club and it's going on his personality, it goes on his mood swings, it goes on when things are going for well for him, he's happy. When things aren't particularly going for well for him, he's not. And that mental strength gets you nowhere. And part of that will make him a lesser player than he could be.
And it hurts his team. It hurts his team.
It hurts him, Rob.
His team, what were his teammates thinking when he has this power? How are they thinking? Is he trying to get me out the side? Listen, I'll give a little analogy of a personal experience of mine. I've probably mentioned it on the show before, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating it. We had a star player come to our club, Fabrizio Ravanelli, and he was brilliant. He was brilliant. But a lot of times he criticised his team, us. He criticised our defenders. Yeah. And we had a brilliant team that year, some great players. We got relegated. We got relegated because the team spirit was pretty poor, given the animosity of some of my teammates with a guy that was a star player and he was treated a little differently to everybody else. And it was not well received in the dressing room. And we struggled. We had some good cup runs, but we struggled in the league. Now, again, different times, different levels here. I get that. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, Rob, one star player in your team and everybody, you know, you do get sucked into, oh my God, we're so lucky to have this guy.
Yeah,
he's like, so great.
You do
give in to him, and he has a lot of power given his prowess at the club, and we don't want to annoy him because we need him to score the goals, et cetera, et cetera. But ultimately, we weren't successful as a team with him in the side. Have you got anything similar?
I have to say, fortunately, from the complete opposite. We never had a star. We never had a star-struck player. We never had anyone who came in who could feel any worse. And so it was about the collective. And if it didn't work for the collective, individuals would get out of the way and not be part of it. So, the complete opposite. It's a shame, though, when you see somebody with the ability of Mbappe, the potential of Mbappe, and you just start to worry if it's all going to be realised in the manner that we want to see. You know, the Messis and the Ronaldos are not going to be here forever. And Erling Haaland has proved everything we've wanted him to be.
Great attitude, Rob.
And look at how humble and, you know, we see the shot that we've got on social media where everybody else is throwing their training top to the kit man and he walks over and hands it to him as if...
Before we forget, mate, I know we're going to wrap up. It's come to light yesterday, I think it was, Rob, I read a big piece in The Athletic that Erling Haaland does have a release clause in his contract of £175 million, €200 million that can kick in for an overseas club.
A non-English club, isn't it?
Non-English club in 2024.
Two years.
2 years' time. So if a Real Madrid, right? Phil, £175 million is a kind of a good amount. It's a lot, but that would be incredibly sad for Man City, for the Premier League. But it's there, and it's kind of been reported in The Athletic and a couple of the places.
The only thing
I think to add to that would be if he can be super happy at Man City. Maybe he won't, because he can still veto that. He can still say...
Yeah, he doesn't have to go, does he?
He doesn't have to go.
But there was talk that his dad has talked that he'll play in four or five of the major leagues in Europe, hasn't he? And maybe he's done Germany, he's done England now.
Yeah.
Spain and Italy might be two more that he still thinks he's got to do. But yeah, well, obviously, keep an eye out on that. And, you know, obviously the teams will be circling, I'm sure, those overseas teams, because what he's doing is something special.
Yeah, he'll have a chance to be a Real Madrid legend, possibly, Rob. And that's pretty tempting for any player. Yeah. Sorry, mate.
Okay, mate, we're going to wrap up match week four in the Champions League. Man City already through to knockout stage. Things looking pretty good for Chelsea, Liverpool and Spurs as they look towards qualification. We're going to be back on Sunday, October the 16th. That's from the Philly Fan Fest, where me and Mr. Musto and the rest of the team will be down in Philadelphia. Looking forward to that one. And we might, all I can say is we might have a special guest So make sure you download that one and see who might be joining us on that Sunday podcast. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty. Together with the two Robbies, thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.